Shalom, this is Billy Bramman, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we're talking about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is Satan against God. It is Satan who has seen the promises of God concerning the Jews in the Bible and does everything within his power to keep them from coming to pass by causing people to hate the Jews and to kill the Jews. Just like God needs us to work through, God needs bodies to work through, Satan needs people to work through. And he has particularly succeeded in firing up people throughout all the Dark Ages and medieval times, where all the root, actually the root of anti-Semitism begins in the Bible, when God was bringing the children of Israel into the Promised Land. They were attacked by Amalek, who did not want them into the Promised Land. That's the sin of Amalek that God said he's always against. God is either taking his people out of their land or bringing his people back. When he's bringing his people back, you do not want to be in the position of being against God's plan to bring them home. And I tell you, this terrible doctrine of replacement theology, which says none of the promises of the Bible can the Jews possibly hope to have, all of this goes to the church. These things too, Satan was able to whip into a fury during the Dark Ages when the Bible was locked up. And we read yesterday from a book called The Foot of Pride. I told you that you'll have to go online to find this book. You still can find some copies. The Foot of Pride by Malcolm Hay, Hay, The Pressure of Christendom on the People of Israel for 1900 Years. So much of what has happened to the Jews, Satan was able to perpetrate through, I don't think these people could possibly have really known the love of God, but perpetrate through people who in the name and behind the sign of the cross. Now, I'm going to read to you from this book, The Foot of Pride. There was a time in Europe, and I'm going to be doing a school. It's going to be in April. I'm going to do it out here at Prayer Mountain. It's an eschatology school on the book of Daniel. It's going to particularly show the place of Europe. I spend much of my time in Europe, studying about Europe, ministering to Europe, trying to bring as much light as we can in that dark place. And I am going to read a letter that is here in explaining to you how they were, particularly the Jews during the medieval times, how they were allowed to exist, but it was believed that they were to exist with, they were to have upon them sufferings. They were to live with just destitute lives. Now, this is a letter addressed to the French hierarchy, which begins with a long preamble and reaffirms the principles laid down by the popes and by Innocent himself, that the Jews are allowed only to live by the gracious permission of Christians' piety. It was pointed out, the Pope pointed out, that they showed no sign of appreciating such generosity. On the contrary, quote, while they are mercifully admitted into our intimacy, they threaten us with their retribution, which they are accustomed to give to their hosts in accordance with the common proverb, like the mouse in a pocket, like the snake around one's loins, like the fire in one's bosom. His chief complaint about Jewish misbehavior, the one at least to which most space is given in this and other letters, does not seem at the present day sufficiently important to justify a public reprimand. But he objected to the employment of Christian female servants by Jews. He had been told that Christian nurses in Jewish households were sometimes compelled at Easter. Now, this is one of the lies. I want to talk to you about the lies. Lies told often enough, Yasser Arafat said, people believe them. He created certain myths by repeating them often enough. There were many lies that were spoken against the Jews that resulted in thousands of them dying, often at the hands of the quote-unquote religious people of the day. So in this letter, it says that it had been reported that in Jewish households where Christian nurses, wet nurses, who were employed to nurse the babies, were required at Easter to pour their milk into latrines for 3 days before they gave suck to the children. In addition to this curious pact practice, the Jews also perform other detestable and unheard of things against the faith. The medieval reader would, of course, assume, or hearer, that they had, because most people couldn't read in those days, that they had been up to some unmentionable wickedness. The letter concludes with a command, which the archbishop was to pass to the king, ordering that measures be taken to make sure they would not dare, quote, to raise their neck bowed under the yoke of perpetual slavery. Now, the date of Easter. This was a date that the Jews feared. Of course, it's the same date as Pesach, or Passover. That's where we get Easter. Jesus was the Passover lamb. But it was in the French kingdom of those days, Jews, and in Europe, other parts of Europe, they were allowed to live, but they had to live like suffering slaves. Now, in the Middle Ages, the sin of usury, it was declared a sin by the church to loan money, but they allowed the Jews to do so. And of course, you know that the Jews have an anointing on them to prosper. So when they wouldn't let them be farmers, they wouldn't let them do what they had done in the Promised Land. They could only take part in this and other retail merchants, things of that sort. But in the Middle Ages, the sin of usury was generally first heard of when a debt had to be paid and the debtor had no means of fulfilling or wished to avoid his obligation. I'm reading to you from The Foot of Pride. They used the Jews to borrow money from. Even the kings borrowed money from them. And then when the kings couldn't pay or wouldn't pay, they simply kicked all the Jews out of the country, as they did in England, as they did in France. But now, nothing was said. I'm reading again from The Foot of Pride. Nothing was said about usury when a transaction went through smoothly. When a church or a monastery was built with money lent by a Jew or by a Christian on interest, and the investment was proved sufficiently profitable to enable the loan to be paid. The Pope had no reason to complain more about the usurious practice of French Jews than about those of French Christians, for whose souls he might be held responsible. Blasphemy was an offense, difficult to define, which in the Middle Ages was sometimes punished with death. It often provided a convenient pretext for depriving Jews of papal protection and for robbing them of their property. Now, what they would do to get out of paying this debt, if they could prove the Jew was committing blasphemy, then he could even be killed. One of the stories that was told over and over and over and over again, and it is still told in Syria, it is still told in Egypt, is that of the blood libel. And it always goes like this. A little Christian child was killed or strangled by the Jews near to Easter. They drained its blood and they made matzah from it. Now, these little children, they have blessed little names. They have been named little saints, little martyrs, because the story was told over and over and over again. And then they would take the Jews that they deemed to be responsible. They would burn them at the stakes. They would put them all in their synagogues and burn them to the ground. And these little martyrs then would be beatified. And they would build churches to whom people would come. To those churches they would come and bring money and honor the little martyr. Another one of those stories was that they would take the host. That was believed by these medieval Christians, that in the communion, that the wafer became the body of Christ. And so if they didn't want to pay their debt, or they couldn't pay their debt, they would claim that the host had been profaned by the Jews. Now, I'm reading you from a book. There were many books that were written in France in the last quarter of the 19th century, which were terribly anti-Semitic. and in one of them, La France, J-U-I-V-E, I dare not pronounce it. This is a statement from that book. The Jews in the Middle Ages drained the blood of Christian children and crucified them. The Jews organized a conspiracy of lepers to poison the wells. In the 14th century, the Jews continued their intrigue. Their profanation of hosts, their strangling of children on Good Friday. So, they profaned the host. I was speaking recently, just home from speaking in France at a Lutheran church built by Napoleon for his generals. This was my third time there. I was invited to teach on why Christians should honor Israel. It's an old cathedral-type church, big pipe organ. Very interesting. The last night of this seminar, the wonderful pastor, truly born again, stood up and said, I have something to tell you about this property. And this is the story. In the 13th century, the 1200s, there was a man who owned that property, and his home was there. His name was Jonatas, a Jew. He was a loaner of money. Supposedly, a Christian family borrowed money from him and could not pay it back. They came to him on Good Friday and asked that he forgive the debt. He asked them to bring the host, the wafer. They brought the host. The story goes that he stabbed it. Blood flowed from it. He put the wafer in water, and out came a crucifix with Jesus on it. The mother and the children supposedly immediately became Christians. Jonatas refused, and he was burned to death. Burned to death because he would not become Christians, good Christians like them. So his house was razed, taken off the property, and a church was built, and a little box was built for the crucifix that came out of the water. And there it was honored, and many years later became a Lutheran church. This Lutheran pastor was feeling sorrow for what had happened to Jonatas. And I believe that his prayers can have something to do with that terrible crime being repented for. I would like to offer you this week one of the ways that Satan is working these days is through fundamental Islam and a book, The Green Horse, by Norma Archbold, author of The Mountains of Israel. We are making it available to you for only $8. It's a thick book, but you can have a good bargain. It's 245 pages for $8 plus shipping. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. You can also find us online at billybrim.org. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow, when we will again study this subject. Shalom.